On September 8th, we're in for what I think is the best show of the summer. It's the last in the series of three perigee moons, which are also called supermoons. What happens is that we get a full moon within a day of perigee, which is the closest point to Earth in the moon's orbit. That evening, the moon rises at 7:06 p.m., and it becomes full at 8:30. When the moon clears the horizon, it'll be within 21 hours of perigee and barely 90 minutes from perfect fullness. So this moon is going to be really round, and of course it'll be brighter than usual. It's the third closest full moon of the year, but only 964 miles farther than August's full moon, which was the closest. But August's moon was 7 hours past full when it rose over our patch of Earth, so I really think that September's will have the best combination of roundness and closeness. This is also the harvest moon because it's the closest full moon to the fall equinox. So let's hope it's clear that night. And again, this happens Monday, September 8th. When the harvest moon has waned a bit, we'll be able to see the evening stars and planets. In the southwest, Mars is making a dash eastward across the background of stars, and this is neat because it's heading right into Scorpius, home of the gigantic red star Antares, whose name means rival of Mars. On the 16th, Mars is just entering the claws of the Scorpion, and later on it passes right over Antares. Note that Mars is only moving eastward compared to the stars. It's actually being drawn, slowly, down toward the western horizon as Earth leaves it farther behind in the orbital race. Saturn is west of Mars, and it sets earlier. Look for both planets about an hour after sunset, and watch how the distance between the two planets grows as Mars heads eastward against the stars. In the morning sky, Jupiter is dominant again. Look to the east an hour before sunrise, and you'll have no trouble finding it. Following Jupiter is the head of Leo, the lion, and that's marked by the sickle, a group of stars outlining the lion's head. Regulus, the brightest star in Leo, is at the base of the sickle. And if you're a morning person, you also get a sneak preview of all the terrific winter stars that the rest of us won't be seeing until late November or early December when they come up in the evening. In the news, astronomers have used data on 8,000 galaxies to draw a 3D map of our corner of the universe. They found that our Milky Way galaxy is on the outskirts of a supercluster of some 100,000 galaxies that they dubbed the Nanea Kea supercluster. Nanea Kea is Hawaiian for immeasurable heaven, and our Nanea Kea supercluster is about 520 million light-years across, with the mass of 100 million billion suns. It was previously thought that we are in a supercluster 100 times smaller than that. There are other superclusters in the universe, but which galaxies belong to which isn't just a matter of location, these astrophysicists say. It's about which galaxies are being pulled by gravity toward a common dense center of mass. The Nanea Kea galaxies are flowing toward a center called the Great Attractor. Its existence has been known for some time. The new work points up that galaxies are like streams of water. Two streams can be close, but if there's a continental divide between them, they'll belong to different watersheds, such as Nanea Kea and other superclusters. This makes the universe, with its clusters and superclusters of galaxies, like a series of cosmic watersheds. But what is the Great Attractor, that dense well of gravity toward which our galaxy and galactic neighbors are flowing? Its identity remains largely a mystery, because the plane of our own galaxy is blocking our view. That's all for now, and happy star watching.